Radio Wisła gości dzisiaj w Instytucie Slawistyki na Uniwersytecie Poczdamskim i mam przyjemność rozmawiać z panem profesorem Peterem Kostą, kierownikiem Katedry Wydziału Językoznawstwa na Uniwersytecie. Panie profesorze, serdecznie witamy.
Dziękuję bardzo, serdecznie witam pani w Uniwersytecie w Poczdamie.
If you'd like, we can switch to English. We are very happy to be here, not only at the university, but also we attended the 11th European Conference on Formal Description of Slavic Languages, and we are lucky that you actually organized the conference, and it's not for the first time. Could you tell us a little bit about the conference, the tradition of the conference, because this is already the 20th anniversary of the conference, and could you tell us a little bit about the conference that just took place in the last 3 days?
I'm very happy to say that this conference has a tradition. 20 years ago, it has been founded by Professor Gehel Cibato from Leipzig, University of Leipzig, and me. And now it took place in Potsdam again for the fifth time already. This conference usually takes place biannually and changes between mutually between the two universities. But in the meantime, also a lot of different universities organize this conference. This conference this year is, in fact, the 20th anniversary, as I already said, and the major issue or the major goal of this conference is to show the progress in a study of Slavic or Slavonic languages. These languages are underestimated, I believe. In general linguistics, we have a lot of people who work with Slavic data. They work in different paradigms. Most of them work in the generative syntax paradigm, but some of them also apply different models and theories. The common denominator of this conference is to get together the best specialists, but also young scholars, in order to show that Slavic languages can contribute if compared on different levels of phonology, morphology, syntax, semantics, computational linguistics, or language acquisition. They can contribute to get more insights into the nature of human language, especially what Noam Chomsky, our, so to say, ID giver and our model, if you want, from MIT, calls internal language, internalized language knowledge. And we are also very happy because Potsdam, in fact, is the center of Polish studies. We have a large department, not very large department, but we concentrate also on Polish language.
That's great. So this is actually my second question. I would like to talk with you about the Polish studies at the Potsdam University. How did it come that the Polish studies were moved to Potsdam?
Originally, I came to Potsdam in 1993, and my chair was, so to say, denominated later, but it was earlier called the chair of West Slavic languages, and the two major languages were from the very beginning on Polish and Czech language. In 98, the Czech language program has been closed because Humboldt University also had a competing program, even though Potsdam had more students, but that there were two universities too near. Why in Humboldt University the Polish studies have been now cut? Everything depends a little bit on the specialization of the follower of Polish studies. Before that, that was Professor Nagurko in linguistics, and she was a specialist in Polish language, of course. And some years ago, I think 2 years ago, she has been on pension, and the chair has now a new, so to say, professor whose specialization is also Polish, but his major specialization is more Czech. So it is a little bit interesting. I studied Polish in Frankfurt am Main in Hessen, and also Czech language. I am by origin Czech from Prague, but my major language is now Polish and not Czech anymore. And I am very happy that we have so many students from Poland and from all over the world who want to study Polish language, literature, culture. And we have really quite a good success with those students. Poland is a very important partner because it's, in fact, Brandenburg, the state of Brandenburg, of which Potsdam is the capital, has the largest and longest border with Poland. So we are really responsible. From the very beginning on, we were responsible for teachers' program. This was also before Professor Nagurko went on pension, because, in fact, it is only the university University of Potsdam in this big region of Berlin-Brandenburg, which is responsible for the program of teachers. Mm-hmm. And not only in Polish, but also in Russian. But we are the one of two or three universities in whole Germany who are responsible for the teachers' program. So that's why we, from the very beginning on, we had to take care about our students and about teaching well and doing it mm-hmm. in the proper way.
That's great. So I read that you offer a bachelor degree, so yes. the students can get a bachelor degree while studying at the university, as well as a master degree.
Yes.
And you offer Polish studies in linguistics, in culture, and also in literature. Yes. Could you tell me, please, what field is the most popular one? Can you say whether this is linguistics or rather literature, or this is difficult to say?
It is both, but I must admit that in every, I think, institute or department all over the world, I believe, there are always a little bit more students who are interested in culture and literature mm-hmm. because it's more easy to read a good poet of mm-hmm. Polish literature, Szymborska, mm-hmm. for example, or an older one, Mickiewicz, than to read a book from Chomsky, yes?
That's right. I understand. And I also understand that you offer Jewish studies.
Yes.
And this is with the chair, Professor Magdalena Marszałek.
Yes.
Is this correct?
This is correct. And it is interesting that this field has, in fact, been developed over the years. And my colleague, Professor Marszałek Magdalena, who I think originally comes from Cracovia, she is a specialist in certain fields which are concerned with memory, with memorizing the fate of Jews, but also the actual connections too. But this is not only Magdalena Marszałek, who has a master program on it. Mm-hmm. It is called, I think, East European Cultural Studies and Jewish Studies. But also we have a School of Theology of Jewish mm-hmm. Studies. And it is the first time in the history of Potsdam, of the University of Potsdam, which now reaches next year, we will have 25 years since the foundation of this university after the unification of Germany. We have also a very large department of religion, which combines, it's not only Catholic religion and not only Protestant, but they also combine the Jewish studies mm-hmm. together with the comparison with different Christian religions.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. That's very for sure interesting for our students. I think that our students from the US who would like to study Polish in Germany are for sure very interested whether the studies here are for free, because as you probably
yes.
know, and you, I have to mention that you are a guest at Princeton University,
yes.
at the University
right.
in Chicago, yes. in New York, so Harvard, that you are familiar with the
education yes.
and the finances as well.
Yes.
So how about the studies here? Do the students pay for studies or it's for free?
So both the bachelor studies and the master studies, first of all, I have to say the bachelor studies, they usually take 6 semesters mm-hmm. and the master studies 4 semesters. And then in addition, if somebody really wants to stay at the university or be concerned with research, you can also study PhD mm-hmm. program, which takes about 5 years or sometimes mm-hmm. also less. But all these programs cost only, and I can tell you the price if you like,
okay.
they cost only around 260 euros for the, 4 months of which takes 1 semester mm-hmm. has 4 months, around 4 months. The summer semester is a little bit shorter. The winter semester is a little bit longer. It takes 15 weeks, in fact, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not very expensive. And in addition, I have to say that I also appreciate, of course, the system in USA of the private university. But it would be maybe for Germans and for our tradition, it would be a little bit hard to install everywhere in every state of Germany a very high fee mm-hmm. to pay the studies, because, as you know, Brandenburg, for example, is not a very rich country. The
mm-hmm.
states are federal states, so they are not all the states have the same budget.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for research and for teaching, Brandenburg, unfortunately, is not a state where, for example, we receive receive a lot of money of the Ministry of Culture and Science and Research, but it doesn't mean that we are not competing with big universities. Mm-hmm. We can say that we are quite successful, and we also have received in the past, in the last 5 years, we have received a medal on the best university for teaching. Competing with all other universities of Germany, we have reached the first top position. So under the first top 10 universities of Germany, we have received the first position for teaching.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. That's a lot. That's very impressive. So maybe at the end, I would like just to talk a little bit about your classes, because you are a specialist in linguistics and in many languages, and you know Polish, Russian, Serbian, Croatian, Italian, French, English, German. Did I miss any languages?
Czech. So. I come from a family with a big tradition of philologers and of people who just are used to speak in many languages. My father was a German Jew from Prague, and his family was German, in fact. So his mother tongue was, before Hitler came, was Jewish. Then they had to, in fact, to change the citizenship because as protest, but it didn't help. He survived the Holocaust, and in the end, he was professor at the University of Goethe in Frankfurt, because we emigrated in 68. My mother is Czech, and I had a step-grandfather who came from Great Britain. So I was right from the, when I was a child, I already heard at least three languages, and because the language during the time of communism in Czechoslovakia, where I am born in 55, I was born in Prague, was the first foreign language at school was Russian. In fact, it has helped me a little bit that the Russians came in 68, because by that I could prolong or continue to teach or to learn Russian. And then under the studies that I did, Slavonic studies, Indo-European linguistics, I also had to learn a lot of ancient languages. For example, I had to learn Old Greek. I have Graecum. It's called Graecum, the exam. I had to have also Latinum. And I am very interested in languages. This is the clue. I learn quite easily languages, not only Italian, French, but also Romagnolo, which is the language of my future wife. She comes from Emilia Romagna, from Italy, and she speaks with her parents only in this language. So it is my fervent hope that our students also will learn a lot of languages, because if you look at the policy of European Union, of in fact the situation in which we are now, not only with the immigrants which come from all over the world because of war and of problems with economical systems and so on, but also because they just like Germany, of course, we have a lot of people from East European countries which don't come because of economic reasons, but because they just like the cultural exchange and so on. And I know that the policy of European Union is now to learn as many languages as possible, because we will need it also for economical reasons, not only for social or for cultural reasons. So we live now in a Germany which resembles much more United States, after all, than it was before the unification. Before the unification, there was a very monolingual situation, more in East Germany, when there was maybe only one additional language, Russian, at the time because of the communism, and sometimes also Vietnamese, because there were the foreign workers who worked in East Germany, former East Germany, who came from Vietnam, from the socialist Vietnam at that time, North Vietnam. But in West Germany, of course, we have had always this tradition. In a way, I come from Frankfurt am Main, which is in fact an American town. U.S. town, yes, as you all know from United States.
You know, I absolutely agree with you that Berlin and Germany became very multicultural and multilingual, yes. And probably this is a good good sign for a good future for the university, because of the enrollment in Slavic languages as well. I would like to wish you and the Slavic department and the Slavic Institute all the best and very successful semester. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Thank you very much.
Bardzo mnie cieszy, że pani była tutaj, a jestem bardzo zadowolony, że mogłem troszeczkę powiedzieć coś o naszym studiu, a mam nadzieję, że też państwo z Stanów przyjdzie, żeby na przykład nauczyć nie języka polskiego, można, że nie języka polskiego też, ale lingwistykę.
Bardzo dziękujemy. Do widzenia.